Praise God. We're not kind of going to, you know, when you tell a life story or just, and you've just got a few minutes to say it, we're obviously going to miss a lot out because part of this story is your story. And so you'll have your own kind of window and your own celebration of the faithfulness of God in your life in bringing us together. So please don't think we're missing your favourite bit out, because you can tell your favourite bit whilst eating cake downstairs. So I hope you kind of realise that we can't do everything. But we just want to do like a background of how we began, our Genesis. Genesis is a book of beginnings, and beginnings are always really important. And so I'm going to start this morning by saying how we met on this creaky chair. Sorry.
Very uncomfortable, it's very creaky. Just so you know.
What did you say?
It's very uncomfortable. I said it to her early and she said, we're not here for comfort.
Suffering for the gospel. Here we go. So we actually met in 1993, which is a long, long time ago. And we met in Kingdom Faith in Horsham. Now, Horsham was the place where a great man of God called Pastor Colin Urquhart started. He was the founder of Kingdom Faith, but also an apostle, one of the fivefold gifts of that train and equip the church that's given by the Lord to the church. But he's very important and still is to us because he basically is our father in the Lord. And we have... we were trained for many years under his ministry. We joined his ministry team and began to teach and train on the in the Bible College there. But the reason that we are where we are today. I just want to honor. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but I just want to thank God for this great man. He wrote, I think, over 40 books, and some of which we recently went through one of them as a church. So he's a great, great man. What date was it? 1995, the Lord spoke to us about staying in Horsham but travelling, itinerant ministry. We went all over the world, didn't we? All over the world, preaching and teaching, many different countries, from Africa, America, all through Europe and different places. But then the biggest shock of my life was hearing God to come and plant a church. I mean, you will know yourself that sometimes your plans kind of has to be cancelled when the Lord's got a plan. And I never envisaged coming to plant and pastor a church, but God clearly spoke to me. And I was in such shock that I went to see Pastor Colin, because we believe in the church there's a godly order of things. And I submitted what I'd heard to the Lord, to Pastor Colin from the Lord. And I was hoping he would say don't. Because it was such a strange thought to me, after having such a successful international ministry, really, together. He basically stood up, began to pray in tongues and prophesy about the great things that God was going to do. And so I left a little downhearted, but willing to yield to God's plan. Actually, we were sent out, and that's another biblical principle, is that there are no mavericks in the kingdom of God and in church building. It's always from generation to generation. It's always under authority. But I just like Pastor Andrea to tell her story, because at one point I was coming on my own, because basically Pastor Andrea didn't feel called.
I really didn't. And it was one of those, and we all know it, we experience it fairly frequently. I had a piece here about moving here to start this church with PJ, but my head was fighting it. And I had my own thoughts and my own plans. My own plan was to move back to Nottingham, where I'm from, and to get a job, you know, just a regular secular job, and just be really good salt and light in the world. That was my thinking. And I was trying to convince myself that it was God. But all the time I knew I had the peace here, but my head was saying, no, 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 that's God, that's God. Anyway, Pastor Colin, in his wisdom and in a very fatherly way, took me for a walk one day, and a very intentional walk. And he said, could it be, he was very gracious, he said, could it be that you've heard the Lord to leave? Because the word I'd had was about leaving Horsham. He said, could it be that you've heard right but are interpreting it wrong? And he said, go back to prayer. So I did, and actually what I needed to do was surrender, to surrender my mind and my thoughts, and just to say, God, you're God. You're Lord of my life, and I trust you. That was the ultimate thing. I know you're good. I know your plans are good. And so I surrender my will. And just as I prayed in the Spirit, actually, the peace grew about moving here. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And when I gave him my yes, I had a real joy bubble. Do you know what I mean? Like, it really, and I went to PJ and I said, I'm coming with you. We'll go together. We'll go together, I said. We'll go together. So anyway, praise God, we packed up our rental house. We were renting a house in Horsham, and even that was a faith thing. And we were supported by people here and in Italy financially until the church could support us. But we rented this house, this barn conversion. It sounds glamorous. It really wasn't. It was a very basic version. In Wiverliscombe, surrounded by fields of sheep, and the Lord really spoke to us through those sheep. And we prayed for 3 months before the start. There's the house. Yeah. So it was such fond memories of that house. So that time there, it was really precious.
So we prayed for 3 months, didn't we?
We did.
And that was an intense time for us. And I believe the church was birthed, really, in those 3 months. That there was something that God needed to do in us and through prayer that we were able to start in the right way. And prayer brings the purpose of God into the earth. If there's no prayer, there isn't any ongoing kingdom advance or purpose. And that's why, you know, we believe in the power of prayer. And we believe in a praying church, that is God's will for us. And as we prayed, the warfare, our battle isn't against flesh and blood, it's against powers and principalities, and we really felt it in those early months of prayer. I know all of you will have experienced as a Christian the oppression once you become a Christian, that sometimes a heaviness can come on you. Well, I mean, it was like a suit of armor got, or even a truckload of armor got dumped on. So anyway, we kept praying and seeking the Lord. But we also knew that every beginning starts with a word or a promise. And we were also asking God, please speak to us. Because faith comes. Now, we were in obedience to come, but we weren't in faith. Because you can do the right things, but not be in faith. That's why faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word. And so we absolutely knew we needed a word, a promise from God to launch out, to even begin to start gathering people around what God wanted. And God spoke to us, and initially to me, and then we prayed through it. And it was from Ezekiel 37:10. Now, those of you who have been here a while will know this, but this is our foundational word. And it's about Ezekiel seeing a valley of dry bones. And we really felt we couldn't raise a church, as Ezekiel would have felt he could never raise a valley of bones. There was nothing that we could do to make a church happen. Because the church is all dependent on God doing it in people. And In this process, Ezekiel was speaking what God gave him to speak. That's the word. And also speaking and prophesying that the Holy Spirit would come and breathe on the slain, that they would live. And the promise there is, as we prophesied, he commanded us to say what we've said. We believe that. But this particular word. And this army stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So that was the vision. Now that vision did something on the inside of us. We received faith. It's almost like we had an army on the inside. And there were only two. That's how God works. He starts from the inside out. So we saw in our hearts what God wanted to do. And we had faith to launch, going out on that word. It created an expectation. And you had a vision, didn't you?
I did, because although we had this amazing promise, the days passed by, turned into weeks. As we said, it was 3 months before we started meetings. But in the time delay, and it's the same for all of us, when you have a promise from God, nearly always there's a time delay, isn't there? Seed, time, harvest. And it was hard. It was hard because we were still just two. We had this army down here, but still it was just us two and the sheep. And really, day and night. And anyway, I had this vision. There was, those of you old enough to remember, there were videos going round, video cassettes called transformation videos. And they were stories of revival in different pockets all over the world. The Holy Spirit moving, doing incredible things, entire communities getting saved, and just signs of God all over. And there was, I know I can feel you, be quick, be quick. I won't go into too much detail, but...
You misread me.
So sorry. Anyway, there was this place, I think it was in Mexico, I've never forgotten the name, it's called Almolonga. And in Almolonga, they were seeing just amazing things, both in terms of salvation, healing, but a lot of them were farmers, and they were getting bumper harvests, like three harvests in a year. The size of the vegetables was just jaw-dropping. And I was brushing my teeth one day during this time of having the promise and seeing not one person yet get saved or added. And I just saw this gigantic carrot in the ground. A carrot like literally the size of my leg. Huge. And I raced upstairs. PJ was, it was horseshoe shape. Raced through the kitchen, round the corner, and up to PJ's bedroom. I said, it's all right. I've had this vision. And the Lord says, the miracle is in the ground. The army is in the ground. It's yes. Big, and it's there. We just can't see it yet, but it's there.
For we walk by faith,
yeah,
and not by sight. And the things that are accomplished by faith, they're the things that God will do. Yes. We'll always require faith for what we haven't yet seen. And so we launched out, didn't we? And people began to gather. We were given this strategy. Really, it's a vision statement that to raise an army, we would be a people. This definition of Kingdom Faith Southwest, we believe, a people who believe. It's already a huge thing.
Yes.
There we are. You just start there. And Jesus, all the way through scriptures, according to your faith, it will be done. Whoever believes, all the way through. So who are people who believe and live in the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. The victory of the cross has won everything for us to live in victory through Jesus. Empowered by his word and spirit. What a great vision. Being trained and equipped, that's Sundays, that's all our meetings, connect groups. There's an ongoing discipleship training going on to go, not just to stay, but to go into our world and make disciples. And that is the expectation and the mandate that Jesus gave us, that when you join the church, you join this. Maybe you never knew it before, but this is who we are. And this is the great work that God wants to do amongst us and through us. So we thank God that we've been able to give our lives to that together. That's what we're living for, that he will be glorified in it.
Okay, so we have the vision, we have the strategy really. But we still needed people. And, anyway, people started contacting us, and 8 people actually gathered together in the living room of Lynn Hay, it was called, this barn in Wiveliskum. And we started with 8, and they joined us in the vision, and we actually then started to travel to different people's homes in the local area. We had meetings most nights. We went to Chard, Hemiock, Taunton, Withy. We had a meeting, and just sharing the vision and just praying, you know, just praying and chatting with people. And we had our first meeting. It was actually Easter Sunday. We had our first meeting. We rented a room in Bishop's Hall School, the small room at first. There were two. There was a small room and then a big room. And so we rented the small room, and everyone had a job. Joan, I can't see her. Is she still on the door?
She's on the door.
Right. Joan was on the door.
90 years
old and still on the door. That is worth a praise. So Joan was on the door. Joy was on keys. Brian was on sound. And I mean, I'll be honest, none of us really knew what we were doing. But we were enthusiastic, we loved Jesus, and we gave it our best. Thank you, Neil. Yes, absolutely. Anyway, the enemy was clearly threatened, even though we were only 8, to look at us, it's just like a small group. But the enemy was threatened, so we have this vision about being an exceedingly great army. We're meeting in Bishop's Hall School. The week we launched, on the front page of the Taunton newspaper, was this whole article about how a witch's coven... Yes, you wait. And their mission statement was to raise an army of Satanists in Bishop's Hall. So the exact opposite. The enemy's always counterfeit, isn't he? He's never original. He copies.
Thank God for the army of God.
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Anyway, so that was that. And we're like, oh, I think we're onto something here. The enemy's rattled. That very same day when we had the first meeting, we came home saying, well, praise God, we've done a public meeting. You know, amazing. Travelling home from Taunton to Lynn Hay, we noticed a police helicopter above the car, and it seemed to follow us all the way to Wiveliskum. We drove up the lane. It was on a steep lane. There were 2 police cars on the drive, and we were like, what the heck? What is this? Whilst we were having the meeting, our house had been broken into. Attempted burglary, but the neighbour who lived above, up the lane, had heard the glass smash and had basically chased the burglar out and across the fields. Not a single thing was stolen. It was mostly my bits and pieces, because it was my bedroom window he'd broken into.
Yes. He dropped it all. My personal belongings
strewn through the fields. And I was just like, well, it doesn't matter, because they didn't have much value anyway. And clearly the burglar understood that and left it. But anyway, the point is, we were a threat. Still are, praise God. And always will be. But that was that. It's your go.
I think it was extraordinary. You know, we were shocked that the police were aware we were living.
Yeah.
And it just made us laugh at what the enemy was trying to do. Mm. And sometimes I think we get too kind of, the devil's too big.
Yes.
And God's, you know, in our eyes. And it can make us think he's too much of a threat. But the Lord sits in heaven and laughs. And we need a whole lot more joy in the church. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So, we launched. And slowly and steadily, people began to join. And I just want to mention here that we became an us.
Yes.
There is a moment where people kind of come together, unite in Jesus, the one, only one in Christ Jesus. That's the only way we become one. And we're all from different backgrounds and different places and even different colors and different intellects. But God made us all one in Christ Jesus. So we began to gather together And we're so thankful for that. We became a church, the body of Christ. And scripture really portrays each part is a member, like your body has lots of different parts. When you become a Christian, you get joined into a body. So a Christian on their own is never a body. And Jesus is building his church, his. And so we believe that church is the most significant and important place on earth. Why? Because God's here. Everywhere God is the most significant. And he calls people to come together, to gather together, the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And Jesus is building his church. And we declare the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we are so thankful, really, that you came. I'll talk more about that later. I'm skipping, aren't I?
A little bit.
But I can't help but thank God that you're here. Because for us, you are God's gift.
Yes.
God's gift.
Absolutely. Every single one of you. Instrumental to those early days, really, was the training center. Do we have a picture of the training center? Or I think I'm skipping here. Okay, that was the inside of the training center.
Tiny.
Oh, but just such fun memories, aren't they? Being there. Those of you who were, in fact, can we have a show of hands? Those of you who went through the training center all those years ago. Look, there's loads of you still with us.
Praise God.
Praise God. We're so thankful.
The builders, the builders.
But we had some amazing times in that training center. PJ's cousin, Joan's son, gave us, it was an upper room as well, like this, an upper room of a barn near his house. And do you know, people from all over the world came to that little barn. Literally all over the world. I didn't list it because I thought there's not enough room on the page, but Spain, Germany,
Switzerland,
Ecuador, Brazil, Switzerland, Italy, Sri Lanka, Mongolia. That's where the connection started with Mongolia, Australia, Northern Ireland. Oh, yes. They came from all over. And really, this
foreigners.
Place and this time was so foundational for establishing in all of us the importance of the Word of God and the presence of God. The times of worship, I remember, they were amazing. And continue to be.
And we've kind of, as we've gone through, things have changed, you know. It's like every person, you go through different changes. But we're so grateful looking back at those who committed to training, to lay foundations for what God would build on up ahead. We're thankful for everybody who came and helped us build that aren't here today. We just want to thank God for the part that they played in seeing this army rise. People like the Barlings,
yes.
Michael and June Barling, they came down from Horsham and just came to serve us, really, to back us and to serve the church. They were the great, great gift from God, as many of have been throughout the years. I'm going to get moved now. But words can't express my gratitude, our gratitude for those who remained.
Yes.
Who stayed and loved and served and gave so that others could be built up. And I know there are many here today who've joined us over the years, have become such an important part of what God is doing, and new ones too. But I believe one of the greatest things that a church can show is what Jesus said, by this you are my disciples, by the way you love one another. And for those who've remained, I just want to just say 1 Corinthians 13 is actually the quality of love that builds a church. It's patient, it's kind. It doesn't envy, doesn't parade itself, it's not puffed up, it doesn't behave rudely, doesn't seek its own, isn't provoked, thinks no evil, doesn't rejoice in sin or iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And that's the quality that Jesus said is going to distinguish. In fact, he said, by this, the world will know you're my disciples because you actually love each other. And I think people who stay and build a local church have to have that quality of love so that they stay and they build through the good times and through the difficult times. So we're thankful for you. But we're also really, really thankful for what God is doing now. Yes. And seeing so many new Christians come in. Yes. And you're a gift. Yes. And seeing new people join us, you're a gift. We're so thankful you came because you're becoming part of God's answer for the world that the church will be salt and light. And you've joined an army. We've got an army of young people. I mean, yes. All the children here weren't born when we started. Yes. Wow. Yes. And, you know, we saw them all file out. Praise God. It's wonderful. Next generations of vision carriers, young people here, elevators, you will carry the vision of Jesus to this generation. You're so significant and important. Praise God.
So we're an army, but we're a family.
Yes.
Family of God. And just like a natural family, as it grows and needs more room, it has to move house. And we've had several moves over the years, and we're just going to go through a few. So we moved from the small room in Bishop's Hole School to the big room. That was a big day. That was a big move, that, for us. From Bishop's Hole, we then moved to St. Augustine's Secondary School, just across town there. But all the time, you see, we were having to do setup, and so many churches still do. So many churches don't have their own building. But anyway, this is how it went. And then the Lord added the mission centre to us. I think we've got a slide for that, which is that building just across the road now. I think they call it Sick Sick, an arts and comedy club. Well, I tell you, when we had it, it was still an arts and comedy club, but in a whole different way. But for the kingdom. But you know, it enabled, well, wasn't it? We had a lot of joy in that building. It was holy joy, though. And fancy dress, Christmas parties, all sorts of happy memories we had in there. But it really facilitated midweek, because it was a bricks and mortar building that we could have midweek, you know? So that was amazing. And then...
Da-da-da! Some of you were saying you remember when we did a little video of how we, because we had to kind of see this building, this miracle building, happen behind the scenes because we didn't want any competition financially to come in to put another bid in. But the story goes like this for this building, because actually it's a people who took a building.
Yes.
That's already a miracle. Of course, it's God, but it's a people of vision who took this ground. And the story goes that Pastor Arangie and I were probably in town having done a meeting in the mission center over the road. And as we walked past here for the first time, we saw this for let or for sale as a whole. And you know when the Lord, you know, you can look at something for years and not look at it, not see it. And then when the Lord highlights it, it suddenly looks like, why have I never seen this before? Yes. It happens when you read your Bible. Yes. Oh, you mean it was always there? Why haven't I seen it before? And we read this notice and we looked at each other, didn't we? And we went, Could we? Is this it, Lord? Because for many years, Claire's husband, Brian, he used to go and try and find a building. We always wanted a home. We always believed for a home for the church. And we went through many different options, but they were never right. And suddenly, this was like the Lord's on this. went home and got our financial advisor, Sandra Mathers, onto the figures. And we went through different things, and then we went to prayer. And I remember in the morning I was saying to the Lord, Lord, we're getting ready to put an offer in on this building. And I think they wanted, San reckons it was 750. I thought it was 800,000 for the building. And I went before the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me from 1 Chronicles 21 about David to stop the stem of judgment going on around and sin. He needed a place where he could sacrifice, an altar. And he bought the threshing floor of this man. And it was kind of like a business place. It was a bit of a change of use for David. And this is what this building was. It was always used for the world. And now we were going to do a change of use to use it for the Lord. And in that story, it says he paid 600 shekels. Well, I don't deal in shekels. But for me, I knew what to pay. I had a word. And of course, it was a lot less than what they wanted. And I remember we agreed and we prayed.
She came to, sorry to butt in here, but she came to me. She said, we're going to offer 600,000 and not a penny more. That's it. So that was it.
I'm a wheeler and dealer underneath, you know. I used to be in the business world. So I literally said, right, we've got our figure. And went to see the agent. I said, this is what we're prepared to pay. And that's it. Came back with a yes. And so we did a mini movie and the big reveal to the church of this is where we're coming. And of course, nothing was done. This room was all partitioned, low ceilings. Nothing was done here. The Lord, we had to take a miracle offering. We took a building's offering. We had a little bit in the bank saved for a building. But on the day of the offering, I remember, I think I was weeping at the generosity of people. We took over £200,000 in one offering. Thank God for the givers in the house. It was just a miracle. And we've been able to refurb. And you'll see through the photographs. I'm sorry if you're not all on the photographs because we've had to be a bit careful with some of them. But you'll see what we came from, the work that had to happen, the tiles that had to be lifted. Does anybody remember those stubborn tiles downstairs? The insulation that had to be carried. This opened up and painted and, oh my goodness, insulation put in everywhere. And the Lord provided through his faithful people. We've been able to do huge projects over the years, audiovisual. And that's an ongoing project that we're needing to add to. But we've been able to put a new roof on. Yes. We've done the heating, the lighting. Our expert, Cy Tangok, he's sorted the lighting for us in such an amazing way. And we've really just seen one thing after another, how the Lord, and maintenance of the building. So we're so thankful to the Lord and to faithful givers. Because tithing and giving is for food in the house. And that's to support the ministry of the house, the people who minister in the house. But it's also been able to fund different things like... I've missed a bit and I don't know how. Let's go back to the mortgage. I'm not used to stories, so I'm used to preaching. So I usually run with something. We've been able to, over time, little by little, overpay on the mortgage. And that has been wonderful to see. Anybody who has had a mortgage or has a mortgage, it's wonderful to see that go down, go down, go down. But this year, we have received, through the legacy of Gerald Doble, his estate as a gift to, and his house will essentially pay off the mortgage this year. Thank you, Jesus. And so from the 600 shekels all the way through to the point now where we can say 25 years debt free. Isn't God amazing? And you know, our children will benefit. And our children's children. And every generation until Jesus comes. And we haven't finished yet. There will be more to take. On top of that, we've been able to give to many in crisis. Samaritan's Purse being one, to give to the poor in different crisis situations abroad. Local projects outside the church. Baby Bank, which is one of our own missions. To other churches who've needed a lift. We give to Israel regularly. We've recently started supporting Pastor Andy Elms in his soul winning. He's gone on a new initiative around the world to release soul winners in churches. But we've mainly supported a place called Mongolia and a children's work in Mongolia. And that has been over 20 years of sending team and sending money to pay for the poor and the desperate children in Mongolia. And God has connected us to faithfully serve that mission for over 20 years. Corrie has sent a letter to thank us for partnering with her in that, what I consider to be a nation-changing vision. And actually, on a little aside, they're just translating my book in Mongolian. So, isn't that amazing? And they want it to go out into Mongolia to teach people to pray. Isn't that fantastic? So praise God for that. Well, I think it's over to you. Have I finished?
Yes. But isn't it amazing, really, what the Lord has done through us? And it really is through us. I just, as you were talking then, saw us like a stone. You know, when you drop a stone into a pool, the ripple effect goes out. Mm-hmm. And it's gone further and wider than we ever imagined, really. The name of this building is Crescent House. And I was sharing this, I think it was in the prayer meeting. Crescent in Italian means growing. So as it's been named, even naturally, growing house, spiritually we are a growing house. And it's two things. And the Ezekiel 37 vision is a two-pronged thing, really. An exceedingly great army, great numerically, but also great by the Spirit. It was the Spirit that brought those bones together, wasn't it? And all of God's work is accomplished by the Holy Spirit in his people. And I am going to read, it's like a list of honours now. And if you or your ministry has missed out, we are so sorry. But what we want to say to you is the Lord never misses. And the Lord sees and the Lord knows. But we want to thank the servant leaders and teams that have been raised in this growing house, admin, children's workers, youth workers, the worship team, the cleaning team, buildings team, hospitality, the welcome team, local and international missions, Start Right, Baby Bank, CAP, Sound, Prayer, Projection, the trustees, the first aiders, the fire wardens, all of us make church happen. Yes. All of us, really, all of us enable church life to take place. And I haven't forgotten the Connect group leaders who open their homes to make disciples. Really, as PJ was sharing that John scripture, John 13 and the 1 Corinthians 13, it is the love of God. It's faith working through love, or faith expressing itself through love. And that's what this body is all about. And together we're doing precious things and important things in the sight of God. But peppered through our history, we've seen miracles. Yeah. Right from the very early days, we started seeing evidence of God in our midst. His presence and his power and his goodness. Signs and wonders. I remember people being healed in the very early days in little kind of home group meetings we had. Astounding things happening. And that has continued throughout the years. Salvations, healings, answer to prayer, where you stop and you say, that has got to be God. There is no other explanation for it than the manifestation of God's Spirit to us and through us. And people have found their destiny here. People have met, they've raised families, they've found friends, care, you know, encouragement, love, support, help when they need it. We're so blessed to have one another. Praise God. Praise God for you.
One of those healings, actually, recently is Paul. I'm sure he'll tell his story sometime, and it's not for today, but, you know, he was failing because of health, and he needed a new kidney, but God gave him one. And his whole, he's been totally changed since a few Sundays ago. Was it 3 weeks ago? How many weeks?
Two.
I mean, he's walking the dog. He hasn't walked the dog for years. So, praise the Lord. Only Jesus. And you know, we've also been through a lot of tests. And Jesus always said that following him wasn't going to be a walk in the park. What he said was, "You'll have tribulation." But I thought I'd say it's not a walk in the park because. There's opposition, and it comes from many different ways. People have lost loved ones, and they've walked through it with us. You know, they're still here. We had COVID. That was tough. Many churches closed because they weren't able to gather again. Nobody came back. But we had a lot of good people came back.
And can I say, we grew in lockdown. Other churches fizzled out. We actually grew. And people then came and joined us because they'd started tuning in online.
Yes, that's true. It's true. So, I mean, you know, we've been able to do things that I never thought we could do. And I'm just so grateful for facilitators who can help us, like the online and our admin team, San and, and the team, have been phenomenal to enable everything that happens. But Jesus said always, you know, there's always more fruit. And we look back and are thankful. Yes. I'm nothing but thankful for his amazing faithfulness and goodness to us. Thankful. For everything, small and big, everything needs to be appreciated today. But as we look ahead, we're building on a solid foundation. And we're not moving forward without knowing who we are and what we're doing. The Lord identifies us as this promise being fulfilled, an exceedingly great army, but also being a people together who believe. Live in the victory of the cross through the word and the spirit, being trained and equipped to go and make disciples, to influence our world. And before Jesus comes back, and it's not going to be long now, it's not going to be long. God wants to activate the body of Christ to be excited about what he's doing.
Yes.
And not just sort of an add-on to your career or how you raise a family. He's first. He will help do all those things and bless you. But we must be a people who are excited about the gospel, excited about Jesus, and excited about what he's building. His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So can we stand and pray together? I hope you found that story, for some of you. How many of you heard that for the first time? Yeah. Wasn't it good?
Yes.
It's a good story. Because it enables you to say, yeah, I'm all in. I can commit to that. Because that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to do in every church, people who believe and live in the victory of the cross. But there's a unifying factor in this promise. And so, Father, as we come, we bow our hearts before you. You're the God who gives every good thing. And we acknowledge that you are the best gift that we have. Lord, without your presence, there's no point building anything. And unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. But Lord, you have built. From the seed of that vision, that promise, what has sprung up is glorious. And we give thanks to you for every single work of your Spirit upon us, within us, and out of us in our world. I just want to thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness today. I want to thank you for every faithful servant in the house and those who are joining this army to see the kingdom of heaven advance, to see the love of God worked out in a world that has yet to meet Jesus. And we thank you that we don't just exist for one another. We exist for our King and his kingdom. And so we're here to pray, Father, that your kingdom will come and your will be done. As we look ahead, Lord, we look with hope and expectation that you began a good work and you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And Father, we just thank you for the power of your Spirit in us. Thank you, we're not a natural army. Thank you, we're a Kingdom of God army. You're our commander and our chief. We look to you, Lord. We thank you that you bought us with your own blood. But thank you, Lord, you've given us your Spirit to lead us in your ways and to not only guide us, but to empower us. And Lord, I pray for every single person here and every single person listening that your Spirit in them will be more active than ever before.
Amen.
Oh, do that, Lord. Do that, Lord. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And we pray for that, Lord. Thank you that your Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And we pray for more of that, Lord. Thank you, Father. The days ahead, they're blessed. Father, thank you that you have good plans for us. Good plans, great plans. And I thank you that that involves many more people.
Amen.
But Lord, I pray we will represent you well and that the life of your Spirit in us, the real Jesus, will draw people to you and they'll be hooked. Hooked on you, Lord, and joined to this body, a dwelling place for you in the Spirit. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to declare this promise together. It's just the most amazing promise, the glory of the latter house. I think we've got a slide. It's a very simple promise and it's very short, but it's just the first bit, really. Let's just say this together. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Let it be, Lord, what you started. Thank you that you maintain, you sustain, and you fulfill. To you be all the glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord!
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.